Hello, and welcome to IRI Growth Insights, featuring IRI thought leaders, industry partners, and guests. For more than 40 years, IRI has been known for its invaluable data, but these podcasts delve into the insights the data reveal to fuel market disruption and market growth for those in the CPG, retail, healthcare, and media markets. I'm your host, Joan Driggs, coming to you from my home in the greater Chicago area. In this special episode of IRI Growth Insights, recorded on March 24th, we're discussing COVID-19 and its impact on the CPG and retail industries. For daily updates on consumer reaction, real-time data on product categories, as well as insights and implications to the CPG retail industry, I encourage you to visit IRIWorldwide.com to see the IRI COVID-19 dashboard, powered by IRI Liquid Data. At the same location, you'll find a number of COVID-19 reports that provide valuable information across countries, categories, and channels. As many areas of the U.S. move from containment to lockdown, IRI has been monitoring the impact on CPG manufacturing, retail, as well as consumers shifting shopping behavior and what they're finding on the shelves. We've seen the mad rush of panic shopping around consumers and on the supply side. We've been working with retailers and their manufacturer partners as they lean in on accepting and addressing this unprecedented situation. IRI has released a number of reports on COVID-19, including some with our partner, BCG. To talk about this situation, I'm joined by IRI's President of Strategic Analytics, KK Dawei, who has authored some of these reports. And we're going to talk about some of these implications and steps that retailers and CPG manufacturers can take to prepare for the months to come. Welcome, KK.
Thank you, Joan. Good afternoon or good day. I am happy to be here on one hand, but this is a big tragedy, the pandemic. And it's so sad to see so many people suffering. And I just got this news flash that the country that I hail from, which has 1.3 billion people, is just now going into lockdown as COVID seems to have gone to India as well. So it's really a bit mixed emotions that we all are dealing with this situation.
Well, and I think that is really important to understand, KK, because not only are we looking at what's happening around the world, looking at our industry, but just like everybody else, we're dealing with this on a personal level as well. I mean, I believe you're at home with your family. You've managed to round up some of your children. Am I right?
Yeah, no. Two of my daughters happened to be here for spring break, and then their colleges got shifted to online. All the students were asked to leave all the dormitories, and luckily my children were already here, and so they are living with us and doing their classes online. So right now in our family, three of us were all in three different rooms doing our work online and on Zoom and so on and so forth. College classes are happening, projects are being done, working with teams, whether it's in college or here at work.
Well, hoping that you have good Wi-Fi at your house, that's for sure. Let's talk a little bit about what we're seeing in other markets, KK, because, the U.S. Is in one place. You just mentioned that India is going into lockdown, but there have been some areas that have been locked down for a couple weeks, that are a little bit ahead of us. And we're kind of looking to those countries, those areas, and I'm thinking of Italy and France. Let's talk about what implications we can learn from those areas that might be applied to what's happening here in the U.S.
Yeah, clearly China, was the first one to kind of have this unfortunate incident way back in December, January. And it's good to see that slowly Wuhan, the first place that got affected with COVID-19, is beginning to limp back to normalcy. So that's kind of hope, because just to a large extent, you know, it's been about a 3-month ride there. And if that's a model, and hopefully scientists and advanced countries can accelerate that timeline, but hopefully we'll be out in 3 months. But who knows? The more analogous to us, closer to home, is Italy, where the first set of events started happening in mid-February. And Italy has been leading. It's about 3 or 4 weeks ahead of United States. And of course, other countries like UK and France and other European countries are also quite affected. And unfortunately, as we heard from our Italian colleagues recently, there are quite a few fatalities in Italy. It's a big tragedy there. But our offices are working remotely. And so we are kind of trying to glean as much lessons as we can from Italy, France, and UK, which are closer to US and where, you know, things started happening in the last 4 to 6 weeks.
You know, one of the things that I've been observing in Italy has been that mad rush, that crazy stock up that they witnessed a couple weeks ago, which is many, many markets across the globe have experienced. It's tapered a little bit, but people are still buying a lot of shelf-stable products, a lot of rice and cereal and pasta. So I feel that, and I hope that you'll, you know, weigh in on this, that people are still concerned about stocking up, but they're also really focused on getting all those meals on the table. I mean, that's 3 meals
a day. Yeah, 3 meals a day. I'm looking at the data, the most recent data from some of many of our countries, as well as the United States. Meal components or meal ingredients is predominantly the main component, other than, you know, healthcare related ones like sanitizers and you know, cleaning cloths, et cetera, that have all been written up in the popular press a lot. But you know, if you kind of look at food and beverage products, it's really the meal ingredients like pasta, rice, canned meat, canned vegetables, frozen meat, and so on. Those are the kinds of products that are still, flying off the shelf here, as well as here in the U.S., as well as in many markets around the world.
Right.
You know, and we have seen a lot of the healthcare-related products also kind of spike at the beginning, but it's much more meals. One interesting factoid I just heard from our Italian colleagues is that there's quite a bit of alcohol also selling a lot. And then he explained it's not because, you know, Italians are drinking or consuming more alcohol. It is a good hand sanitizer. And in the fact that in the face of empty shelves of Purells and hand sanitizers, a number of consumers are also taking alcohol, you know, 75% proof, whatever, the harder alcohol to kind of sanitize themselves, it looks like.
It's just so
interesting
wrong.
Applications.
So wrong, it's not. It's not the same. Unless maybe they're talking about grappa, which has a much higher alcohol content, but it's not the same.
Yeah, I met a neighbor of mine who said, I take vodka because it's 75% proof. I'm using that instead of sanitizer. I said, okay.
Okay, maybe he's trying to sanitize from the inside out. Okay. So I also, one of the things that's really interesting is been the tremendous leap in usage of click and collect in Italy. And I would anticipate that is going to be really big stateside.
Yeah, no, the first set of data just came out this morning. In terms of click and collect, even in the U.S., e-commerce in the U.S., from our e-commerce, e-market insights. And clearly, e-commerce is taking off here, both in click and collect and home delivery. As we have seen, Amazon is hiring, thousands of workers to fulfill demand in many markets. The scheduled delivery is becoming harder and harder. Amazon, I think the lead times are now going to 7 days and 10 days. And Walmart is also staffing up for click and collect and home delivery in addition to their stores. And so there's, you know, I was just reading an article in today's journal that probably 300,000-400,000 workers are being employed additionally by Amazon, Walmart, and a number of others, even food service delivery, to help deliver products, but also to restock the shelves. Companies are also hiring quite a few frontline sales force to quickly restock the shelves in supermarkets. So I think e-commerce is gaining ground. We have clearly seen that in Italian data. We have a day-by-day Italian data that we included in one of our reports on our IRI Insights portal that shows that click and collect and home delivery spiked severely as stay-at-home orders are kind of issued by various countries. So we do expect e-commerce to continue. And I think in China also, we saw quite a bit of press reports that there was a lot of e-commerce spike and home delivery was happening, which is really what you can do if you can go out. Right. Or if you're afraid that you're going to get the virus from others in the stores.
And I know in China, a lot of the food service workers were part of that team of people who helped, with the home delivery. And I would imagine that's, because the restaurant industry here in the U.S., it's not like the last recession where things kind of dwindled out slowly. It really took a hard hit immediately. So hopefully they're, in the short term or for the duration, maybe that's a great labor market for our retail partners and Amazons of the world to kind of tap into. Like, what are some of the lessons that we can learn from the last recession in terms of, how we might kind of get through this or some of the behaviors that will change? I mean, I anticipate, granted, e-commerce wasn't as big during the recession, but I would imagine that people, having tried it during COVID-19, will really kind of stick with it. So what other things do you think we can learn from the recession or what behaviors can change?
Yeah, the unfortunate byproduct of COVID-19 has been this whole economic anxiety that has surfaced with consumers, very rightly so. I've heard, I've seen reports, press reports, that there are 15 million workers who are involved in all of food service, right? Bars, restaurants, servers, waiters, people who deliver, who give us, service in restaurants. And, with the economic shutdown that we have in the country right now, rightfully so, that policymakers are trying to balance between health versus economy. Right now, they are prioritizing health, which is right, because if you don't have lives, you can't work. Unfortunately, I think there are lots of reports that it's 15 to 20, 25 million people are out of work. And I know the Senate and the Congress are working in the U.S. to pass some relief measures, and hopefully they'll do that soon. But the reality is, there was a spike in filing for unemployment, and the websites kept crashing. We will get the labor report, I believe, this Thursday, and then again next week. And economists are predicting Q2 GDP will kind of grind to a halt and will decline somewhere between 25% to 50%, which has not been seen. Even I believe in some of the past recessions, we have seen a contraction of 8-10%, and this kind of a contraction is going to affect consumers severely, particularly those that cannot work from home like you and I do. I mean, these are people who are in the service industry, helping consumers and serving consumers. So it's unfortunate, and that is creating a lot of anxiety. And even those who are on jobs, we have seen Marriott workers being furloughed. Airlines have kind of furloughed their employees. Entire tourism and travel and other service sectors are grinding to a halt. Shops are being closed. So this is leading to a whole slew of economic anxiety and economic worry, as we will be publishing a survey that Joan, you and some of our other team members led. But coming back to recession, so this is definitely a recession, a government-induced recession for the health purposes. And some people worry that it may be a depression. So what we did was to kind of go and look at past 3-4 recessions. We have had a few recessions in the past. The Great Recession of December 2007 to June 2009, caused by the financial, by the mortgage crisis and so on and so forth. It was a financial market-driven recession. In early 2000, we had a recession from 2001, March to November. Again, in early 90s, we had a July 1990 to March 1991 recession. So what we did was to take a look at these recessions, even though this time it's really very different, because in none of those recessions, people were ordered to stay at home and businesses are asked to close and, non-essential workers have been asked not to travel, et cetera, et cetera. So this time is extremely different. But still, as human beings, we are likely to react in some similar fashion to the extent possible. So we went and looked at it to see what happens. And some of the findings are, in this food and beverage stores, that is tracked by U.S. Bureau of Census, it's typically a recession-proof industry because we all need to eat. The sales growth kind of comes down a little bit in recessions, but not as much because there is population growth and people need to eat. People may substitute higher value items to lower value items, instead of having a higher priced pasta, I may go for a lower priced pasta if I don't have enough money and so on and so forth, but still I have to eat, right? So that the in-home food consumption kind of remains fairly stable, though pantries do shrink, there is less wastage. And there is a little bit substitution from premium products to, value products and so on and so forth. But what also happens is the out-of-home consumption kind of constricts quite a bit. You can have a drop of 4-5% points of growth. But in this case, it's going to go to, close to zero just because only food delivery is allowed. And, that too is going to be a little bit watched with, suspicious eyes, for those of us who worry about our health and so on and so forth. We are less likely to order food from outside. So that is going to come down. What we are also seeing is that, it takes about a year to two post-recession for things to come back to normal. This is again in the past. Here with all the incentives, et cetera, we are trying to put together, governments are trying to put together. Hopefully we will come back to normal earlier. And what is the impact on CPG manufacturers? CPG manufacturers who have predominantly sell for in-home consumption are going to be fine because, there is a surge in demand right now as pantry stocking is happening. But, manufacturers who also sell to food service, their canteens and cafeterias and vending machines and college dorms and airport restaurants and bars and hotels and a whole bunch of places, they are going to kind of they have that part of the business is going to shrink, and those are typically higher margin, so there will be a margin compression for food and beverage manufacturers who have a higher exposure to food service. We are certainly seeing a bunch of center store products spiking quite a bit as people are buying their canned soup and canned meat and canned products. And as we all know, in the last few years, people were kind of trying various other diets as opposed to the tried and trusted through past brands like Kraft mac and cheese and Campbell's soup, et cetera, et cetera. Now they are buying a lot of that. And it's going to be interesting whether, consumers who kind of, try those, buy those products that they haven't bought for a few years, are they going to stick to it? Are they going to rediscover their fondness for such products? We'll have to wait and see. there will be an interesting dynamics with private label. So far as we look at US data, private label has not really accelerated or anything. Private label share has been stable, and I think it may be a little bit of a supply constraint, but as recession takes hold and supply constraints and out of stock constraints are kind of, you know, lifted, I do expect private label to go up, which is what we have seen in the past. And we have also seen in the past that value channels, dollar stores, Walmart, and a whole bunch of stores that consumers perceive as value, offering value, will increase, which is, again, a thing that we have seen in past recessions. People will be searching for deals and looking for price versus just convenience. In the past, few years, we have kind of consumers have prioritized convenience over price. We do expect price to become more important, price and promotion to become more important if this economic slowdown persists and takes some time to recover.
You know, I'd like to ask a little bit more about private label, because what I've observed in the past several years is that some retailers have done an absolutely amazing job of really pouring some innovation and some money into their more premium products to compete with national brand premium products. Do you anticipate that some of those more successful private label retailers are going to focus some of their SKUs on maybe the lower tier products to help people through this? Or what do you anticipate changing there?
Yeah, I the private label store brands, right? So just, private label / store brands. I remember speaking at a private label conference, 25, 30 years ago now. I can't even recall when that was. At that time, in the U.S., the private label was around 18% or so of the total food and beverage products. And lo and behold, today, after at least 25 years, right, it's still at 19%. So private label kind of goes up and down over various time periods, but private label has really not grown in the U.S. for various reasons. I do expect private label share of food and beverage, this is a dollar share, to remain constant, maybe tick up a little bit. But I do think there will be a lot more shift to opening price points to offer value, and clearly Aldi has kind of become much bigger now than the previous recession. I know Lidl also has entered and kind of still, you know, figuring out the U.S. market. But Kroger, Target, Walmart, and a whole bunch of other retailers have all kind of shored up their whole private label portfolio. So we do expect them to offer and communicate the value that they do with their private label products. So I do expect a shift in terms of price points, more opening price points, a little bit uptick in shares once all the production and supply chain kind of issues are sorted out, and offering and emphasizing more the value than trying to compete at the higher end, compete with the regular mainstream brands.
Excellent. So we just have a few minutes left, and I'd like to talk about some opportunities that retailers and maybe their CPG partners have to support people at this time. You know, we've seen actually some really good stories coming out about, you know, acknowledging that retail workers and delivery people and even manufacturers are kind of our modern day heroes. We've seen that retailers are closing earlier to clean the stores and then maybe opening up just for seniors first thing in the morning. Other opportunities do you see for these retailers and CPG brands to like really support shoppers at this time?
Yeah, no, I think they've done a fantastic job in the last few weeks. As retailers became just in time, as the whole, you know, food chain, so to say, the supply chain became just in time. I was just reading some stats that it used to, you know, they used to have 2-3 months of stock, and then they kind of optimized it to only have a week or two of goods. But they have done a fantastic job getting all the goods in place. Yes, there are some outages, but it's more, you know, like my neighbor here next door says, it's a, you know, that they have 2 months of grocery already stocked up in their home. In our house, we are doing that. But there are consumers doing it. And I walked stores this weekend and yesterday. I was at a Target, at a Costco, and at a Publix here in Florida where I live. And, you know, they gave us, you know, clean carts. You know, there are some people sitting and cleaning all the carts so that we can have that. Costco monitored how many people go inside the store. The Costco is actually much better to shop than a typical Sunday when I went. Because they were kind of, letting only a few people in. And yes, there were certain aisles and shelves that were kind of completely empty, but you know, they're trying to serve the consumer. I could find many products and I bought, you know, whatever I needed. And on the manufacturer side, as we have seen, several companies have stepped up. They're paying special incentives to their frontline sales force to kind of, you know, in these difficult times to go and, you know, restock all the shelves. They're hiring more people. They're investing. Some of the leaders that I've seen are investing quite a bit in their frontline, and they are absolutely focused on execution and getting all of the products in store for consumers to get it. So the industry has done a fantastic job. I would say here, now I'm kind of a sample size of one, but by and large, from all the reports that I read, most people are getting all the goods that they need. We may not be able to serve everybody's anxieties, but I think everybody is getting. I've not heard of anybody not getting the essential groceries that they need. So kudos to the industry, and I'm sure there are lots and lots of people behind, behind making sure that consumers get the food that they need and the supplies that they need.
Great. KK, this has been great. And I know that we're continuing to like monitor and report out on COVID-19 as it impacts the CPG and retail industry. So in wrapping up, I just want to recap a couple of the things that I heard from you today. And that is that for the most part, the CPG and retail industry is recession-proof, and particularly in this time where more of the food dollar is shifting back into the home, we're really delivering to most consumers most products. We're definitely in a recession, and people are going to be looking for lower-priced products. But again, food in-home food consumption is going to continue, so look for a rise in private label, and then maybe shopping at more value stores. And then we also are seeing a huge rise in click and collect and home delivery, and that might be one of the things that really sticks after this recession and COVID-19 is over. And finally, you know, we'd like to just acknowledge the great work being done by grocery retail, by all CPG retail, and their CPG partners, really stepping up and trying 24/7 to ease as much of the anxiety of consumers as possible. So with that, thanks for listening. And KK, I'll look forward to speaking with you again soon.
Thanks, Joan.
Thank you for listening. Please visit IRIWorldwide.com to view the IRI COVID-19 dashboard and insights portal, where you'll have access to daily updates, in-depth reports, as well as observations and implications for the CPG retail industry. Please become a subscriber of IRI Growth Insights and let us know what you want to learn more about. We'll serve it up in a future IRI Growth Insights episode. Look for us wherever you get your podcasts and be sure to review IRI Growth Insights. Also, visit us on the web at IRIWorldwide.com and connect with us on Twitter, Facebook, and LinkedIn.